You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
The Nuclear Security Summit was held in South Korea last year. At that summit, a plan to send radioactive material from Canada to the U.S. was made between Prime Minister Stephen Harper and President Obama. The shipments will run from Chalk River near Ottawa to a site in South Carolina. The actual route will be top secret because the liquid waste contains weapons-grade uranium. That's the same material that was used in the atomic bomb dropped on Hiroshima in 1945. Joining us to discuss these shipments is Gordon Edwards. He is president of the Canadian Coalition for Nuclear Responsibility, and he's joined me on the phone from Montreal. Hello, Gordon.
Hello, Jane. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. What's the rationale for these shipments?
Well, there's an explicit rationale, you might say a public rationale, and then there's also a private rationale, which is not public. Publicly, the rationale is that we want to get rid of the existence of weapons-grade uranium in countries which don't have nuclear weapons programs because they might be accessible for terrorists or thieves who could grab a hold of this stuff. And it so happens that highly enriched uranium can be used to make a fairly low-tech but very powerful atomic bomb. So that's the overt rationale for it.
And the other reason is
really that the nuclear people, that is the nuclear scientists, they have their own agenda and they want to keep things going and they want to keep the money flowing and they want to keep themselves in jobs and business. And in many ways, this is a kind of a make-work project for both Savannah River in the United States and South Carolina and for Chalk River in Canada. Savannah River has a facility called the H Canyon, and this is a reprocessing plant, very similar to the reprocessing plants they used to have at Hanford down in Washington State, south of Vancouver. This plant in South Carolina treats liquid high-level radioactive waste, such as the material that we have at Chalk River, and they chemically separate the fissile material, that is the weapons-grade material, from the rest of the junk. And so they want to keep that plant open, and they're going to get $60 million from the Canadian government for receiving this liquid waste, and they have an objective to keep that plant running. Now, it doesn't really, to us, that is to the environmentalists both on both sides of the border, it doesn't make sense to be sending this liquid waste almost 2,000 kilometers over public roads and public bridges when it has never been done before in North America. There's never been shipments of high-level radioactive liquid waste. In fact, this stuff is considered so dangerous that even in Hanford, Washington, they're still very nervous about the high-level radioactive liquid waste that has been left there for after the Second World War. And similarly, at Chalk River, the tank that contains this liquid waste has been shut down for 10 years already. And why all of a sudden are they wanting to ship it over public roads? We feel that the non-proliferation objective, the idea of getting it out of the hands of criminals and terrorists, is really just a smokescreen.
Tell me a bit more about that liquid waste. I mean, you know, let's imagine that one of those tankers crashed and some of that waste spilled out.
Well, of course, as always, they say, well, the containers are so solid and so strong that there's no way they're going to leak. However, we've heard that story before with nuclear reactors and with all kinds of other things. Even the tanks down at Hanford are leaking and are even showing signs of dangers of explosion, according to a latest news report. So accidents do happen, and the trouble is that, first of all, what is this high-level liquid waste? When you put uranium into a nuclear reactor, it is transformed into hundreds of other elements that didn't exist before, such as cesium-137, such as plutonium, such as americium, such as iodine-131 and strontium-90. There's hundreds of these things, literally. And what they are, they're basically the broken pieces of uranium atoms or uranium atoms which have been themselves transmuted into heavier elements. And they turn out to be very, very intensely radioactive and very dangerous. That's the stuff that came pouring out of the Fukushima reactor and is still coming out of the Fukushima reactor today. So how does it turn out to be liquid? Well, in order to get anything valuable out of the irradiated nuclear fuel, which is solid, they have to dissolve it in nitric acid, and that's what they do. They dissolve it in nitric acid, turning the whole thing into an acid, liquid, highly radioactive solution, the most dangerous material on Earth. And then they chemically separate out the part they want, which is usually typically less than 1% of the total. In the case of bomb makers, they want the plutonium to make bombs. In the case of Chalk River, it's not the plutonium they're after, it's the medical isotopes. But again, that's a very tiny fraction of the total. So they're left with this huge tank of 23,000 liters of very highly radioactive liquid waste.
And now, you gave me the rationale that's being put out publicly, and you told me why the U.S. wants it down there to kind of keep people in business down in their facility. Why does Canada want to sign on to this?
Well, I think Canada wants to sign on to this partly to earn brownie points in terms of saying that we're doing something good to save the world from proliferation of nuclear weapons material. So there's a kind of a, you know, politicians always like to be able to claim credit for something. And also to get rid of a waste problem, which is really should be ours to deal with. That is, this liquid waste is our problem. We created it. We should be dealing with it. And in this, by spending $60 million, they can ship it down to the United States and say, hey, now it's your problem. It's not our problem. But, you know, this is not really responsible because the Savannah River has a terrible environmental record. Not only have they created a tremendous amount of radioactive contamination, they're part of a $200 billion contaminated site inventory in the United States because it was a military facility. It's part of the military-industrial complex in the States, the nuclear weapons complex. So is it really responsible to just send it to a place where we know the environmental record is terrible, particularly when we could solidify it on site? We could take this liquid waste and solidify it, because that's what they're doing right now. They're doing that with the... I told you that the tank was full about 10 years ago, right? So what have they been doing in the last 10 years? Well, they're still producing medical isotopes. They're still producing this liquid, highly radioactive liquid waste, but now they're solidifying it as they produce it. So if they can solidify it as they produce it and in a process called cementation, why can't they do that with the contents of this liquid tank instead of jeopardizing Canadians and Americans on their public roads?
Have there been any public consultations or environmental assessments regarding these shipments?
None whatsoever. And the justification for this is that it's, and we feel that this is just a way of keeping the environmentalists and the public out of the picture. They say, oh, well, this is all very top secret. It's all hush-hush. Nobody can know because of the fact that we're trying to keep it from criminals and terrorists. Therefore, if we're going to be shipping it on roads, we mustn't tell anybody when we're shipping it, where we're shipping it, through which communities we're shipping it, and we can't have environmental assessments because that might reveal information that would be useful to malicious people. So it's really a way of preventing the public from having any say in it. Now, there is another consideration, and that is that it is, of course, in general, a problem about highly enriched uranium being available. You don't want highly enriched uranium being available to criminals and so on. But this is liquid, very, very radioactive stuff. It's not at all easy for criminals to access this material. It's in a very secure place at the moment. The stuff that they're shipping into Chalk River, which is the fresh, highly enriched uranium, that stuff is much more proliferation resistant, and they're not stopping that. At least not now. They're going to stop it in 2016, so they are planning to stop it in the future. But the solid stuff that hasn't been used is far more proliferation prone than the liquid stuff that's left over as a waste. Now, here's the kicker, is that we've talked to scientists at Princeton and Harvard and people who are nuclear specialists, and they say, look, you don't have to ship this stuff anywhere. All you have to do is add to the tank of highly enriched uranium, you add something called depleted uranium. And as you add the depleted uranium, the concentration of weapons-grade uranium goes lower and lower and lower until you reach a point where it's no longer weapons-usable and is no longer a threat from that point of view. You still have the radiological problem. You still have the radiological possibility of contamination, but you no longer have the highly enriched uranium, which is weapons-usable.
Is there organizing against this in Ontario, where these shipments are in the states and the states through which it will go through? I mean, are people aware that that this is going to come through some community somewhere?
We're trying to ring the alarm bell loud and clear, and the Sierra Club of Canada, John Bennett is the president of that organization, and he has sent out an action alert to all his contacts. We have been certainly through the Great Lakes United organization. We've been notifying all of our member groups about it. Lots of people have written letters in demanding that there be a generic environmental assessment about the whole concept of doing this, not necessarily specifying, you know, the details that would be useful to criminals, like routes and so on, but simply saying, are there not alternatives, things that could be done that do not require shipping this dangerous material over roads? You have to bear in mind that when we talk about terrorism possibly stealing the stuff, you can also think about terrorists from a distance just simply blowing up the convoy. And if they were to blow up the convoy as it was crossing one of the bridges across the St. Lawrence River, they could cause very widespread contamination simply because of the fact that we decided to move it. So better to leave it where it is and safeguard it where it is and dilute it down so it's no longer weapons usable, and then we don't face that risk.
Is there time to stop the transports, do you think?
Well, I think there's not much time, and now's the time when people should speak up, because I believe that this is the thin edge of the wedge. My organization and other organizations believe that the age of nuclear power is on its way out. You know, we're seeing a decline of nuclear power worldwide, and it's going to continue to decline at least for the next 20 years, if not longer. Meanwhile, the age of nuclear waste is just beginning. And the danger of this, of allowing these shipments to take place without even public scrutiny, is that it just sets the stage for more and more shipments of such material in the future. If people don't speak up now, we are going to be facing a situation which is a fait accompli. So now's the time for people to write to their senators, to their representatives in the states, to write to the Prime Minister's office or to Joe Oliver, who's the Minister of Natural Resources here in Canada, and say, there's no way that this should be done without a very careful review of alternatives. Never mind the details of transportation. Let's just talk about what could be done instead.
Thanks very much for talking to me this morning, Gordon.
My pleasure.
I've been speaking with Gordon Edwards. He's president of the Canadian Coalition for Nuclear Responsibility. If you want to learn more about the shipments, you can go to ccnr.org.
This podcast was produced by the Red Eye Collective in Vancouver, BC. If you live in the Vancouver area and are interested in creating alternative radio with us, we'd love to hear from you. Contact us at redeye@coopradio.org.